This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAPrepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor at USAPrepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Fennelli.
Everyone all set? Cocked, locked, hour number two of USA Prepares. There's four of us right now. Nathan is engineering. Kathy is in the front of the classroom. I'm sitting off to the side. And Arjun from West Virginia is just joining us. Welcome, Arjun.
Hey, Vince. Your idea, first of all, your idea of dial soap, it is very good, I think, you know, like, because last night I got up, you know, I put like dial soap throughout the kitchen and you know, like, I didn't hear anything. Like, I got up at 3:30, and normally when I get up in the night, I can hear like mouse is actually biting things, you know, like he's working around in the kitchen, but I didn't hear anything. So I'm going to put like dial soap like throughout the house, even in the crawl space, you know, like just to chase out these guys, you know. But that idea, I can't believe it, you know, it's so simple and it's such an amazing idea, you know, like, and
well, that's what we do here. We try to find the simple answer. Usually the simple answer is the best answer. Class, in case you don't know who Arjun is, Arjun came from India, and he landed in the United States, and he set up a house in New Jersey, and he decided that it was not the right place to be. It was just too corrupt, too oppressive. And I'm not sure exactly why he decided to jump ship from New Jersey, but he bought a place in West Virginia that needs a lot of work. So he's got a million questions. And so I just want to let you know who Arjun is. And Arjun, you are one of the most brave, courageous people I have ever had the pleasure of talking with. And what I mean by that is you're all by yourself. You came to a foreign country. You decided that you're going to not do what everyone else does and live in the city and move to a place where you have to do everything yourself, everything, and be responsible for your own mistakes. Did I say all this right, or am I incorrect?
Oh, well, 100% right. And, you know, like, it's just that, like, I think everything is blowing up in the cities, you know, like, they have, like, houses, minimum house of $250,000. Now, if I calculate all my salary, all my life, I can never pay for those houses, you know, like, so, I mean, like, everything seems to be blown up, you know, like, there is no way you can actually think about, you know, like, relaxing and, you know, like, having, and settle down and, you know, like, not worry about any payments or things like that. So, I mean, like,
may I ask you a kind of a personal question? Now, if you don't want to answer this, please don't.
Oh, no.
But I thought maybe the class might benefit from this.
Sure.
What were you paying in rent to live in New Jersey, and what are your real estate taxes for the home that you bought in West Virginia? Can you give us those two numbers? You don't have to if you don't want to.
Absolutely. No, 100%. I will tell you. So, I mean, like, my house was $1,250 or $1,300, and it keeps on increasing, like, $50 every year. But $1,250, and for the gas and the electricity included, it all comes down to, like, $1,500. And the thing is that, like, this is very normal in New Jersey. This is not, you know, like, I'm talking about, like, one-bedroom apartment, one bathroom, just like a 900 square feet of house, you know, like, so nothing big, you know, like, nothing fancy. It's a very simple house, $1,500. Now I paid my taxes for this year, for the whole year, in West Virginia. So it was like $438 for the whole year. So that house.
Class, I just wanted you to hear those numbers. What he said, I believe what he said, and correct me if I'm wrong, to live in New Jersey in a 900-square-foot apartment, one bedroom, one bath, $1,500 a month, that's rent and utilities. And his cost for real estate taxes for the entire year is $428. So, you know, high $30 a month in real estate taxes. Now, of course, he has a mortgage payment and utilities. But I think the whole nut, if you look at it, the whole number is less expensive for you to own your own home in West Virginia than it was to rent a place that you would never own if you're renting. And that's for all renters. No one gets to rent and own unless you have a special contract that says you're renting to own. But typically, if you're a renter, you don't get to own that place. You are now a homeowner. So is it less expensive to have your own home?
I just want to say that like this house was very cheap, but like it required a lot of work. So I mean, like, mm-hmm. So I didn't take and like no mortgage company will, and my credit history is not good, so no one will give me any credit or anything. So actually, you know, like, so I just, you know, like collected all the money that I had, and I just bought it like from the cash that I had. And so there is no mortgage like on the house. That's why, you know, like, and so it's a very, very cheap house. And you know, like, it's not only in West Virginia, it's like almost, you know, like you can find everywhere in the United States, like which are like red states, you know, like by what I mean is like Republican states. So I mean, like, you can look around, you can search, and you can find, like, even in Kentucky, you can find, you know, like cheap houses. You can find houses everywhere, but like not like in big states like New Jersey, New York. No, not there.
Right. Okay. You had a question about what? You had a question that you wanted to ask Kathy or me or both of us.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I had a question about like air vents, but I will come to it. Like you were talking about like electric ranges, like how you cook your food. So I mean, like, I was wondering that is there any alternative way that I can do to cook food? Like I can right now I'm cooking food using electricity with electric ranges, and not electric range, but like I have a thing that I can, I have like hot plates thing, very cheap I bought, but I have like wood around the house, like I have like some trees around the house, but like if I buy like a propane tank and then like I connect it to a heater and then cook food, but propane is also very costly. It finishes very quickly.
Okay, let me address this. At our farmhouse, I like to be independent, and there's a cost associated with being independent. So, for example, we generate our own electricity, and the break-even point is going to probably take around, I'm just guessing, for most people, 20 years before you actually break even with the cost of putting in a solar system. Ours is going to take maybe 8 or 10 years to break even. With propane, it's going to be the same thing. So if you want to be independent, it's going to cost money. But when everyone else is without electricity and they can't cook because they have an electric stove, you will be able to if you had a propane stove. So propane stoves are the same as a natural gas stove, and there is a regulator a gas regulator in each of those stoves, and there is a very simple method for converting natural gas to propane or propane to natural gas. So if you find one, a stove that you like on Craigslist and it says natural gas, look up that make and model and go to YouTube and look up, or just type in a search engine, convert Whirlpool stove or GE stove from natural gas to propane. And you'll see it's usually simply as turning a wrench on a brass nut to convert it from one type of gas to natural gas to propane. Propane tanks used to cost about $1 per gallon used. So a good condition propane tank, if it's 500 gallons, would cost roughly $500. If it's 1,000 gallons, it would cost roughly 1,000 gallons. Propane tanks last a really long time. They're very heavy. thick steel. I've seen propane tanks that were built in the 1960s. They're painted up and they look brand new. So ours are probably 30 years old or maybe a little older. But there are valves in the propane tanks that you need to make sure are still good. You might want to call a propane company that sells propane and ask them how much it would cost to buy a propane tank. So if you buy your own propane tank, you will be able to call any company that you want and shop for propane. The last time I bought propane, it was $1.19.9 per gallon. In the winter, when everybody's heating with their propane heating system, it might cost $2.49 for that same propane. So you want to buy propane when no one else is thinking about it. That would be in the hottest days of the summer, kind of like now. And you'll find maybe August would be the very best time. But you'll check the internet for prices for propane. Or you can rent a propane tank. Now, some propane companies will say, all right, we'll let you use our tank. But you have to buy propane from us. So that $1.19 per gallon propane will now cost, around $2 a gallon. But the tank is free. So if you want to drive down the overall cost to the lowest point in the long run, you buy your own tank. Okay? So did I answer your questions? But you got to be careful how to install it. Okay? You actually need to know what you're doing, and you need to check for leaks. And you check for leaks with soapy water. Okay, so kind of like if you're checking for a leak on a tire, on a car or truck, what we use is liquid detergent mixed with water. So let's say a tablespoon or a teaspoon of liquid detergent to a quart of water. We put it in a spray bottle, and we spray it where we think the tire's leaking, and you'll see bubbles. The same thing is true if you want to see if you have a propane tank or a propane line leak. You spray where you think it's leaking at the fittings, and you'll see it bubble if it's leaking. Any other questions, Arjun, or comments?
Yes. I wanted to actually, there is a lot of trash and stuff in the vents, like air vents in the house. So I bought a vacuum from Goodwill store, and I bought a brush which is used for cleaning the vents for your dryer. So it is a long cord, 4 feet, big cord. So I'm trying to clean it little by little, and I'm trying to suck all the dust using the vacuum, but I don't think that I'm going to get all the dust out of the vent. Is this the best way, or should I?
Yeah, getting dust out of the vent.
Dust and also there is also trash also. I see that these guys have placed their clothes also in the vent.
You probably had animals living in your ductwork as well. So what you can do is you can buy a camera on eBay that attach. Do you have a cell phone?
Yes.
Okay, you can buy a camera for around $10 with a 15-foot cord, and it's powered by your cell phone, and you can look on the screen of your cell phone what this little camera can see. And the camera is nothing more than the diameter of a number 2 pencil with a cord. And what you can do is take coat hanger. You can use a coat hanger. Stretch it out and tape that end of the camera to the coat hanger and put it down the ductwork, and you can see what you're aiming at, okay? And then you can figure out how to clean it. Arjun, we've got to go. We've got a whole bunch of other things
that
Kathy's got on her list. But feel free to call in. You've got great questions, and our class is learning a lot from your experience with your first home purchase.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
No whining. Only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
Domestic engineering today with your instructor, Kathy. Kathy is from Ohio. And, Kathy, did you have any comments that Arjun is no longer with us? He dropped off. But did you have any comments about cleaning ductwork that you wanted to share?
No, Vince, kind of what you said made a lot of sense. I do go, like you had mentioned, getting down and taking those vents off and cleaning in there. And I have like a little tool with a real long hose on it that I, when I use the vacuum, I get down as far as I can. But other than that, since I haven't done exactly how you said it. But I want to make a quick comment about the propane. Last year, it was in the middle of winter, and my son walked over by the propane tank, and he could smell gas. And there was a leak in the copper tubing. And my husband shut it off right away, and they did come out and replace it. But we were losing gas in there, so that's something that I think if you have one, maybe go and see if you smell the gas or you notice, like you said, if you hear a hissing sound, just to be aware of.
Yeah, and you can smell propane. There is an there is a scent that is added to the propane to make it smell like rotten eggs. And it's a really distinct smell. So if you have a propane tank, or a couple suggestions. One, don't put it next to the house. Two, aim it so that if the end leaks and this propane tank launches, which some of them have just, they're like rockets. Well, if you have a propane leak, it can take off and goes, you know, horizontally across the ground. Sometimes they explode. So if you have one, don't aim it at the house. aim it so that if it does take off from either end, it's going to go away from where people are and where, you know, people live. So you don't want to aim it at your neighbor's house either, under most circumstances. Don't aim it at your house. I mean, that's kind of like an old rule about propane tanks. Now, they probably won't leak, but even so, and make sure your tank is level. But if you do smell propane, if you can shut it off, you know, there's a valve to shut it off on top, that would be a good thing to do. But if you think it's going to explode, get out of there, because the explosion will be huge. Huge. And propane travels along the ground. It's heavier than air, so it will stay close to the ground. And it is really has a lot of energy. So, and by the way, the propane in the tank is liquid. And what happens is propane boils at a very low temperature. So when they fill your propane tank, it's if they fill it up as far as they would normally fill it, they would fill it to 80%. And that would be liquid. And what happens is you're taking the gas off the top at the highest point of the tank. So at 80% full, there is room for the gas and there's room for expansion because liquids don't expand. And if they filled it to 100%, a nice hot summer day, that tank could blow up. So you'll find that the propane guys will never fill it more than 80% if they're paying attention. And the other thing is, as the liquid propane boils, the gas comes off, and that's what you burn in your stoves and heating system, etc. So you can take that same soapy spray or that same detergent spray in a spray bottle. And you can use an old Windex bottle or any kind of spray bottle and spray it and see if you have a leak. And you'll smell a leak. Now, the regulators, that would be the device that is connected to the high-pressure side, and it would regulate the pressure down to a low pressure side. You might smell a little bit of propane coming out of there every once in a while as the regulator does its job. But you should not smell propane all the time. Okay? And you can always call the gas company, and they'll tell you what to do. They'll probably tell you to hang up and get out of there. So those are my thoughts on propane.
Last thing. I know that when we had our propane tank set in, they said that, and I know my husband mentioned that he did not want it real close to the barn because if you have electricity in the barn. I think it's a 15-foot distance away from it, but
yeah,
correct me
maybe,
if I'm wrong. But
at least.
That I remember.
Yeah. That's okay. Right. It might be 15 feet. It might be 20, depending on the location. But there's the American Gas Association that has recommendations. So, right, you want to make sure that the propane tank is nowhere near an ignition source. And what's an ignition source? Well, there's a relay on your heat pump. So your outside air conditioning unit, you know, those big boxes with the vents and the coils, there's a relay in there. So when that thing kicks on, a spark goes across that relay 100% of the time, whenever they energize, and that could set off a propane explosion. So you don't even want that near your tank.
When is the other shoe going to drop? The warning signs are everywhere. The next big danger is food shortages. That's why Americans are learning to be self-reliant and getting their emergency long-term food storage from My Patriot Supply. We're America's trusted leader in emergency preparedness. Over the past decade, My Patriot Supply has served millions of families and helped them prepare. Our delicious meal kits average 2,000 calories per day and stay fresh in storage up to 25 years. This is reliable food that will be there when disasters strike. And with the way things are going, you should grab some now. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a starter kit for each member of your family, and we'll ship everything quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait and scramble with the masses when the news breaks. Instead, prepare today for what's coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
A sudden rise in the post-COVID-19 vaccine death reports is not correct and was the result of an error, according to the CDC on Friday. The Food and Drug Administration had received 12,313 reports of death among those who received the COVID-19 vaccine. But a CDC spokeswoman said the number the agency has displayed on its website is not correct, and the actual number is about half the false number. China's devastating floods from heavy rains this week has a death toll in the 30s as of Thursday. Cleanup efforts were underway in Hunan province and the capital city, Zhengzhou, on Thursday, after a record-breaking rainstorm flooded the city's streets and subway system. Pacific Gas and Electric, California's major energy provider, announced plans to bury 10,000 miles of its power lines in an effort to prevent sparking wildfires at a projected cost of $15 billion with a B, dollars. USA Radio News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi canceled two of the five Republicans from the GOP election to investigate January 6th. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy now calls Pelosi's partisan panel a sham.
Denying the voice of members who have served in the military. Jim Banks, a Navy veteran who served in Afghanistan, serves on HASC, chair of the largest caucus, the Republican Conference, and law enforcement, as well as a leader of a standing committee. Jim Jordan isn't ranking of just his first committee. He's done it before. Jim Jordan has served on select committee and serves on one now. Made it undeniable this panel has lost all legitimacy and credibility. And it shows exactly what I warned back at the beginning of January, that Pelosi would play politics with this. For more than 6 months, you have a better example of the Senate, bipartisan. Schumer didn't pick who went on as the Republicans. They already have the report done by two different committees. Two main questions. Why was the Capitol so ill-prepared for that day when they knew on December 14th they had a problem? And what have we done to make sure that never happens again? Pelosi has created a sham process. Unless Speaker Pelosi reverses course and seats all five Republicans, we will not participate. But we think it's too important. Why would they jeopardize the lives of the Capitol Police? We will run our own investigation.
I'm Lance Pry, and this is USA Radio News.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach, at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAPrepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAPrepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
You know, whenever I hear news and advertisements about what they call wildfires, it just causes me to ignite. And I'll tell you why. There used to be advertisements on the radio that say, Smokey the Bear would say, only you can prevent forest fires. Now they call them wildfires. Now, wild to me, and maybe I'm getting this all wrong, but wild to me suggests nature, things in the wild, animals in the wild, beyond our control. That's what it suggests to me. These are not, in my opinion, fires that are mostly caused by natural things. I believe that these fires are caused by stupidity, ignorance, carelessness, recklessness, and greed. That's what I believe causes these massive, massive fires that are destructive beyond most people's comprehension. The greed of the boardroom, of the electricity companies, saying, we don't really need to fix the grid. Yeah, it sparks, and yeah, it overheats, and the wires get so hot, they burn the insulation off the wires. And yeah, if it ever touches, you know, tinder, it'll set the tinder on fire, and we'll have, you know, we'll burn down a few states at a time. Corporate greed causes this. Ignorance on the behalf of the populace causes it. People don't seem to have enough smarts to understand that the exhaust system under their car with their catalytic converter running at 1500 degrees, it's not a good thing to park that on dry grass, because that could start one of these massive fires. So we have the greed of the corporations, we have the ignorance and stupidity of the populace, and we have the carelessness and recklessness of smokers who think that it is their right and their obligation and their duty to flick their cigarettes out the window. It makes me crazy, because if you're an animal in the wild and these fires are coming your way, you've got no place to go. How about if these animals and humans were reversed and the animals flicked their cigarettes out the window and burned your house down with no place to go and killed your family? And it's not just that. It's birds are dying in Maryland and Virginia and the District of Columbia. They're falling out of the sky. They appear to be blinded. And the news reports are saying, huh, I wonder what's causing this. Well, we're causing it. Elon Musk and parasites like that, with all the more and more and more microwave radiation, I believe that's the cause. Because the generally dumb public wants faster. You know, I want to download that movie in 3 minutes instead of 10 minutes. Really? Movies? That's where this is at? It's, Kathy, I drove through a dying, soon-to-be-dead Midwestern town yesterday. This is a plague on our country. Small towns where the center of town might be half a mile long, and it's all the same. It's always the same. It's these 120-year-old brick buildings, the storefronts, the hardware stores, the apothecaries, the general stores, all of those, you know, in a strip right down the center, and the folk, the town folk, live on the outside of this little strip of a half a mile of these decaying, dilapidated, falling down brick buildings. And it costs too much to fix them. There's no commerce. The towns are dying, and they just don't even know it yet. But as I travel through Missouri, I see town after town after town of these dead, decaying, never to be brought back to life towns, soon to be ghost towns. And I'll bet you've got them in Ohio, too. Kathy?
Yeah, exactly. I'm to the point now where if they have any kind of a store that I can use, I go into the county that's more rural, and I'll go there, even if it might be 5 or 10 miles farther for me, rather than go to the city, just to try to support them. We have some wonderful older, like we have an old hardware store that is really a nice hardware store, and it's still hanging in there because we don't have a big box real close to us with that. But it's really a shame. You're right. It half of them are vacant. You might have the post office. You might have a bank. Sometimes you might have like a pizza place or something like that. But most of the what used to be probably small businesses or lawyers or things that were in the city, they're just gone. It's all closed up. It's really a shame.
Kathy, I wanted to make a comment about something that I talked about years ago. I stood on stage and I talked about this. As a customer/member of Laclede Electric Co-op, I fought to help change some of the policies that I didn't like smart meters. And I mentioned in front of a large group of GDP, like maybe 3,000 GDP, I tried to convince them that these smart meters are a really bad idea. And one little thing that they can do is they can shut your electricity off without coming to your house. So the lineman didn't have to get in the truck, take this long 40-foot pole, and pull the fuse that provides electricity to the overhead wires going from the power pole on the street or the road to your house. They could shut off the electricity over the power line or through wireless communications and tell your meter, that's it, disconnect. Well, it happened. And they laughed at me when I said this because they thought smart meters were a really cool thing. Well, it happened to a family that we know. So these two houses are on the same little road, private road, and they're related. So one is the aunt, and the other is the family that I'm going to talk about. So the aunt sells the house and calls the power company and says, disconnect the electricity because we sold the house, and, you know, the new buyers are going to, you know, they're going to tell you when to turn the electricity back on. So the aunt moves out, and the electric company goes to their computer control, and they've got a really set of smart people over there, and they disconnect the power to the wrong house. Okay, on the same road, but wrong house. So there's a brand new baby that just was born, I mean, like a couple weeks, and air conditioning's off. It's red hot here. Electricity's been shut off. So they get on the phone, they say, hey, turn it back on. What's going on? They go, well, it's been disconnected. So the electric company says, well, okay, it's going to take a while. We're, you know, we're backlogged. It's going to take a while. And by the way, you're going to have to pay a deposit to get the electricity turned back on. So here's a good paying customer. They shut the electricity off by mistake. Then they say you're going to have to pay a deposit to get it turned back on. So there's a fight on the phone. Finally, the family wins, and they try to turn the electricity back on, but it doesn't go back on because the fuse at the line blows right where the electricity comes to the overhead wires. It blows. Why does it blow? Well, because all of the devices that were connected when the power was shut off are still on. So they turn the electricity back on. There's a massive inrush of current. It blows the fuse on the on the power pole. Boom. Now they have to send a guy out. So the guy comes out and he goes, oh, shoot, I need a fuse. He goes back. So they are without electricity from 11 o'clock in the morning till 8 o'clock at night because of human stupidity, carelessness, recklessness, and error. Now, can that happen to you? I guess it can. Class, think about that. Do you really want to be connected to a smart meter that can be controlled by a bozo? That's where we are right now. Kathy, any comments? Kathy, are you still there, or did I get disconnected?
Yeah, I'm here, Vince. I'm sorry. If you said something, I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
Okay. I was talking about the smart meter. Yes.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Go ahead.
I don't want one. We still have a guy that comes out to our house and checks it, and I tell him if I see him, I don't. You know, make sure you tell him never to put one on the house. I don't want one. And he just assures
right,
me.
It's coming. It's coming because they threatened to have me arrested when I told them I wasn't going to have one. They said, well, you can either let us put it on or we're going to have the sheriff arrest you. That's what they did to me. So, and by the way, class, as a public service announcement, if you have someone in your house that has a absolute need for electricity, you know, life and death situation, medical equipment running, and your smart meter gets shut off, and you are at your wit's end trying to get electricity back on. Now, this is not because of non-payment. This would be because they warn you. But if this is because of some stupid mistake, you can go to YouTube, and you can learn how to break the law and get your smart meter reversed. It's just two wires. It's dangerous, but it can be done. Now, I'm not recommending you do it, but I am saying that if I were in a situation and my family, a member of my family, were going to die if I didn't do it, what do you think I would do? It's on YouTube. Okay, Kathy, I wanted to mention something that, you know, I saw yesterday a bunch of cars on the side of the road, non-operational, side of the road. They had failures. And I'm noticing more and more cars are failing because of heat-related problems. So I'll just tell you this quickly. I've replaced every thermostat I can in every vehicle that I can with a lower temperature thermostat. Typically, thermostats in cars are close to 200 degrees. Water boils at 212 degrees. So they're within a couple degrees of boiling all the time. And then when it gets really hot, the underhood temperatures get even hotter, and the tendency to cause a leak at these plastic parts that as they age in the cooling system can't handle the hot coolant, and they burst, and then you're stuck on the side of the road. What I've done is I've replaced every thermostat I can in General Motors products, Dodge products, with thermostats that are 180 degrees, 180. Now, there are problems associated with that because your computer is going to say, not up to operating temperature. So you have a check engine light soon come on. But we have never had an overheating problem since I've done it, and I've done it years ago. Any comments about that, Kathy?
Why is it just because of the increase? Heat that we're experiencing, Ben?
It's both. It's the increase in temperature. It's the increase in the road surface temperature. It's, you know, a road can be 150, 160 degrees, a black road in the hot sun. And so your cooling system, your air intake, where your grill is picking up air that's 150 degrees and trying to cool your engine with that. And it's really hard to do. So that's one.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com, that's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com, or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Fox. It's gonna be sliding.
What are today's hot?
Flash.
God, you're
take my.
When you go to
the
for 2 seconds.
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAPrepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Fennelli.
So we're talking about domestic engineering with Kathy. Kathy is from Ohio, and to answer your question about what's causing these overheating problems, Kathy, it's complex, but I'll address it. So the engine compartment has gotten smaller, and there's more equipment under the hood. And so in front of what happens typically, let's talk about 1960, you would have a radiator, and a lot of cars didn't have air conditioning back then. So the air from outside would go through the radiator, and that warmed up air would circulate around the engine and start to cool it as you drove. And if you weren't driving, there was a fan that would pull air through the radiator and cool. So there's always air moving under the hood, but it's warmer when the engine's running than when the engine's not running. And then they decided, the EPA said, well, we got to clean up the air. So they put all kinds of emission control systems under on vehicles. The one that generates the most heat is the catalytic converter. So that will take the exhaust temperature of, let's say, 600, 700 degrees to 1500 degrees. And they put the catalytic converter up close to the engine. So it's really close to the engine compartment. So now you've got this device that'll cook the engine. But as long as you're driving, the air will tend to cool off the catalytic converter. They even have to put heat shields between the exhaust system now and the underbody of the car, because the underbody of the car will cook. And you'll sit in your car and you go, boy, my feet are cooking. And that'd be because the exhaust system is running at such a hot temperature. So the air coming into the engine compartment, it's pulled in by the fan, there's a transmission cooler in front of the radiator. There's a power steering cooler in front of the radiator. There's the air conditioning coils in front of the radiator. Then you have the radiator. Then under the hood, you have the turbocharger, which runs red hot, like 1,000 degrees, literally. And then you have the higher engine temperature, so the automobile manufacturers say, well, 180 degrees, that we can get more efficiency, more thermodynamic efficiency, if we bring the temperature closer to 200 degrees. So they eke out a couple more percent of fuel economy by doing that. And then they have the engine covers. They have these decorative plastic engine covers that sit on top of the engine. They might say Mercedes or Nissan or Acura or whatever it may be. And that further traps the engine heat in the engine. So all of these things work against having rubber parts and plastic parts last longer. So now what we're seeing is that the rubber boots on the steering system, the tie rod ends, the ball joints, the heat is so great that it cooks the rubber parts, and now we have to replace ball joints because the rubber parts fail and water and dirt get in the ball joints and the tie rod ends and the steering system and the power steering rack and all these rubber-covered parts that are covered with rubber to keep the dirt and water out are failing. So now we're replacing all kinds of parts way more often. You put all this together and you see these cars dead on the side of the road. So what do? That's easy. You change the thermostat to 180 degrees. But, you know, don't do it. Don't do it because I said that. Do your own research. I have done it and it works, and none of our vehicles has overheated since I've done that. But do your own research. And those decorative covers, I mean, some people say, well, they keep the mice and the rats out. Yeah, they probably do. But they also cook the engine. So where do we have all those decorative covers? In a pile. In a pile in the barn. They are not under the hood of the cars. Kathy, any quick comments?
Good advice, Vince. That's all I got to say is, boy, you sure don't want to be out in the middle of, in the country especially, and have all the damage to your car. But I agree. Yeah.
Here's another comment. So what we're seeing now is that because of the salt on the roads, the brake calipers are getting stuck, the disc brake calipers. So what's happening is you step on the brake and the brake pads press against the disc rotor, and that's the braking action. And they get hot. The rotors get hot. And as you drive, the air rushing across the brake disc rotors cools off. Well, the salt is causing these calipers, these disc brake calipers, not to retract. So they keep the pressure on the disc rotors. Now, how do you know if this is a problem? Well, after you drive for a little bit, you know, maybe 5 minutes, if you have a chance to pull over, you feel the wheel, where the bolts of the wheel are or the lug nuts are. Now, be careful because it could be red hot if you have a failure with your brake caliper. And you feel the temperature of the left one and the right rear. Are they similar? Well, if they are, you're probably okay. If they're warm, you're probably okay. If they're red hot, something's wrong. Okay? Be careful when you touch them because it can be so hot you can burn yourself. And that's when you have a failure. And then you feel the front ones. Now, the front braking action of a vehicle is about 60%. The rear braking action is about 40%. So you would figure that the front hub where the wheel attaches to the axle would be warmer when you brake. And that's true. So as soon, you know, if you go shopping and get out of your car and feel those wheel hubs, and if one is really hot and the rest of them don't seem that hot, you got a problem with the one that's hot. And the same thing is with trailers. And you can do that. And I do that all the time. That's just part of regular preventive maintenance. Kathy, you know, if we did 2 hours a day, 5 days a week, we still wouldn't cover it, would we?
No. We got through one topic, Ben.
Yeah, and it's all my fault. It's all my fault. And that's because I want to deliver long, long answers rather than snippets. I want to give you enough information so you can do something with it. Kathy, it's delightful chatting with you. And I'd love to hear if I was right about why your husband...
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.